Well, if you'll take your Bibles once more, we're going to turn to Exodus in chapter 20 for our message this morning. Exodus in chapter 20. But even though our text today will be verses 8 through 11, I'm going to read Exodus 20 verses 1 through 11 for context, and then we're going to flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 12 through 15. What you'll find is that the fourth commandment is recorded for us in the Old Testament twice, first in Exodus 20 and then in Deuteronomy 5. And you'll notice as we read through the fourth commandment that God gives two different reasons to the Israelites for keeping the Sabbath day. In Exodus chapter 20, he points them to creation. He says, remember that God created the Sabbath day at creation. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 5, he gives them another reason for keeping the Sabbath, which is, you were slaves in Egypt, but I have rescued you from bondage. And as we'll see in the sermon this morning, those two reasons are still valid today. The first reason is creation, and the second reason is redemption. And the Sabbath day teaches us that God is a God of creation and God is a God of redemption. And so that's why we're going to read the parallel passage in Deuteronomy. So listen now to God's word, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 11. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the sons to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And now Deuteronomy chapter 5. Keep a finger in Exodus 20. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Amen. Well, here we are, the fourth commandment. It is quite intimidating. It is perhaps even a little bit scary to some of us as soon as we hear the words, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Already our consciences begin to tremble. Already we start to get a bit nervous because we realize that we have failed to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Already we begin to feel guilty. Already our conscience begins to accuse us of failure. The fourth commandment, the Sabbath day, is a little bit like writing a research paper in school. You know it's coming due. You know you have to do it, but you just keep putting it off and putting it off. And every time you sit down, the blank screen just sort of stares back at you, and you're intimidated. You don't know how to begin. And the Sabbath day is a little bit like that. People put it off, and then when they finally sit down to consider it, they're intimidated by it. They don't know where to begin. They don't know how to start. In our own day and age, there is a massive, massive battle that has taken place over the Sabbath. And unfortunately, I fear that in many cases, the battle has already been lost. And in many cases, the Sabbath day has already been done away with. Must Christians keep the Sabbath day? Surely the fourth commandment was for the Jews. Surely the fourth commandment referred only to Israel. Must Christians actually remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Does the New Testament even mention the Sabbath day? Didn't Jesus do away with the Sabbath day? Didn't Jesus come and get rid of that heavy burden so we no longer have to worry about keeping one day holy for the Lord our God? Didn't he release us from that and make us free? Doesn't the New Testament say that we no longer have to observe special days? Well, it's no wonder that the Sabbath day has been greatly attacked. Do you remember the very first words that Satan ever spoke to mankind? He said to Eve, "Did God really say?" And with that question, he called God's goodness and kindness into doubt. And instantaneously, Eve thought to herself, "Did he say? Do I have to keep the commands of God? Am I allowed to eat whatever I want to eat, or is God allowed to give me commands that I must keep?" And immediately Eve began to doubt God's goodness and kindness in the middle of the Garden of Eden, surrounded by pure goodness and delight. Eve dared to call God's kindness into question because Satan had said, "Did God really say? Is that the kind of God that you serve?" And it's not a surprise that Satan attacks the Sabbath day. It is one of the, if not the, greatest physical blessings that God has ever given to mankind. And Satan knows that. And so he attacks it, and he attacks it, and he attacks it. It is not a shock that the Sabbath day has been under spiritual attack in our day and age. And it's not a surprise when Jesus came to earth that a great part of his time was spent in championing the moral law of God, the Ten Commandments, all 10, not just 9. Jesus spent a great deal of time championing the Sabbath day, guarding and protecting the fourth commandment. Now, if you're a Christian here this morning, I trust that you love the titles of Jesus. What are the titles of Jesus? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. He is called the Son of Man. He is called the Son of God. Don't we all rejoice that Jesus is called the Friend of Sinners? The Great Physician. The Lord of the Sabbath. If you love Jesus Christ, you will love all of his titles, and one of his titles is the Lord of the Sabbath. He called himself that in Mark chapter 2, where he told the Pharisees the Sabbath day was made for man, not merely the Jews. It was made for all mankind. At creation, it was made for mankind, not merely Israel. Jesus Christ himself, the Lord of the Sabbath, said that. What we find in the next chapter, in Mark chapter 3, is quite interesting. In that chapter, we have the account of Jesus healing the man with a shriveled hand. Christ told the man to stretch out his hand, and he healed him on the Sabbath. And in Mark's gospel, we are told that Jesus was angry. Now, why was he angry? He was angry at the hardened hearts of the Pharisees because they had butchered the Sabbath day and they had turned the Sabbath day into a day that was a burden for the people. And Jesus became angry because they refused to use the Sabbath day as they ought to use it, as a day of kindness and mercy. And that made Jesus angry. And the Lord of the Sabbath is still angered when people's hearts are so hard that they will twist his holy day and make it a curse instead of a blessing. Now this morning, as we come to study the Sabbath day, we want to see over the next several weeks that the Sabbath day is a God-given blessing for all mankind. The Sabbath day is a God-given blessing for all mankind. And the Sabbath day, because of the work of Jesus, is a special blessing for the Christian. It is a day of blessing for all mankind, but it is a special blessing because of the work of Christ for believers. Now, how is the Sabbath day a blessing? How is the fourth commandment a blessing for all mankind, and especially believers? Well, it is because the fourth commandment is a life-regulating commandment. The fourth commandment regulates our lives. Now, there are a couple of illustrations that we can use to get across this point. And the first illustration is that of a voltage regulator. Now, that might be foreign language. If you know anything about cars, then you will know what a voltage regulator is. And the fourth commandment is very much like a spiritual voltage regulator. In a vehicle, the engine needs a voltage regulator to keep all of the electrical power at a constant level, so that there are no spikes or dips in electrical power. If the voltage regulator is damaged, a number of things can happen to the vehicle. The first and most important thing is that you can lose your battery. The battery will be completely drained if your voltage regulator goes, which means that you can't start your car and you're not going to drive anywhere. But even if the voltage regulator doesn't go completely and the battery still has a little bit of juice, it is possible to lose function of your speedometer. Now, sometimes, especially young people, may feel that they don't need a speedometer, that they just go at whatever speed they want, but most of us are happy and thankful to have a speedometer in our vehicle because it tells us how fast we're going. If you don't have a speedometer, you can't gauge your speed accurately, and so what you do is you start looking at the traffic around you, and if they go fast, well, then you're humming along. If they go slowly, then you start to go slowly. You can't regulate your speed properly. Now, that is exactly what happens to the Christian life if the fourth commandment is removed. You do not have a spiritual regulator. You become drained spiritually. You can't start your spiritual car in the morning. You can't turn over your spiritual life. You can't get going. How many times as a Christian have you said, I am so exhausted. I feel drained. I feel numb spiritually. Oftentimes, it is because you have failed to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The fourth commandment regulates our lives as Christians. It keeps us from being drained, and it keeps us from going at the pace of the world around us. It regulates our spiritual speed so we don't speed up with the rest of the world and chase what the world is chasing. And it keeps our speed constant spiritually so we don't become slow with regard to spiritual things. That is how we naturally are. We become very quick with the things of the world, very slow with the things of God. And the fourth commandment keeps us on pace. It shows us how fast we're going. Another illustration that we could use is that of a metronome. If you're a musician, you know what a metronome is. A metronome is simply a device that emits a regularly pulsed signal, usually a loud ticking noise, tick, tick, tick. And musicians, especially when they're learning how to play an instrument, use a metronome to get their minds thinking about time and sequence with the music so they can keep the tempo correct. Because when you're playing music, you can quickly go too fast and you can quickly go too slow. And so a metronome develops a sense of timing. If you've ever watched somebody play a trumpet, you will see oftentimes their right foot being a metronome, keeping time. Because when you play a trumpet, you have to come in right at the perfect time with that loud blast. You don't want to mess up the timing. And the fourth commandment is a spiritual metronome. One day in seven, one day in seven, one day in seven, one day in seven. And it keeps us on pace. Otherwise, our lives become too fast. Otherwise, our lives become too slow. And imperceptibly, we speed up with the world, and imperceptibly, we slow down with respect to the Lord. But the fourth commandment reminds us, keep pace. Keep your sense of timing. The fourth commandment is a spiritually regulating commandment. Now, we need to ask the question, what does the fourth commandment spiritually regulate? What do we mean when it says it's a life-regulating commandment? And there are three things that the fourth commandment regulates in our lives. And we're not going to study all three this morning. We'll just look at the first one. And Lord willing, over the next several weeks, we'll study the next few. But the first area of our life that is regulated by the fourth commandment is our mind. Look in chapter 20 and verse 8, the very beginning of the commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. That is a command to our minds. That is a command to our minds. Now, some of you might have trouble at night when you lie down to sleep. You're very tired. You're ready for bed. You crawl into bed. You close your eyes, and immediately your mind starts racing. And you thought, I'm really tired. I just want to go to sleep. But your mind won't be quiet. Your mind just keeps ticking over. And you keep thinking about all the things that you messed up that day and all the things that you have to do the next day, and you can't fall asleep. Your mind is racing. And then the next day, after a night of tossing and turning, you find that you're very lethargic, and suddenly your mind seems to have switched off. And it was really on the night before, but now you're trying to focus on your work and your mind just cannot concentrate. And you find yourself staring out the window and you find yourself staring at the same page for an hour and you're not taking anything in and your mind is incredibly lethargic. The fourth commandment regulates our mind. We must have our mind regulated. Especially in today's world, people's minds begin to race. What is going to happen? This world is spinning out of control, and they start to panic, and they start to worry, and their mind begins to race. Other people become numb. I don't care. Whatever. The world's a mess. Whatever. Can't do anything about it, so I'll just stay in bed today. Whatever. And their mind becomes very spiritually lethargic. The fourth commandment deals with our mind. Secondly, you'll notice in the text, it deals with our affections. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That is, to keep the day special, to keep the day sanctified and sacred, hallowed. We might use the word cherished. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it cherished, to make it a day that you love, to make it a day to which you look forward. One of the most famous verses in all of the Bible on the Sabbath day, Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13, many of you perhaps have memorized it. If you call the Sabbath a delight, that is dealing with your affections. Something is wrong with our affections. We love the things of this world. We love ourselves. We do not love the Lord as we ought. Our affections must be regulated by the fourth commandment. And then thirdly, in verses 9 and 10, the fourth commandment regulates our time and activity. It helps us manage the world. 6 days you shall labor, one day you shall set aside for the Lord. Well, today we're going to look at how the fourth commandment regulates the mind of the Christian. Now, first of all, as we look in verse 8, God gives this as a command. Remember, focus, think, be mentally alert. All of us by nature, especially as we get older, especially as we have more and more responsibility, more and more people depending on us, more and more things that we need to do, our brains are in 1,000 different places at once. We're trying to keep track of everything, and so our energies are scattered because our minds are scattered. And the fourth commandment is saying, collect your thoughts, gather your thoughts together, stop having such scattered thinking. Remember, focus, fix your attention, concentrate your thinking on one point. Now, if you are familiar with the Bible, you will know that the command to remember is a very common command. Again and again and again and again, Christians are told to remember. You can think with me in your mind, even as I speak out loud. What are the remember passages of Scripture? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Ecclesiastes speaks to children. Remember, remember your Creator. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to remember the Lord's death until He comes. Remember the Lord's death. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, speaking particularly to Gentile Christians, he says, remember that at one time you were separate from Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that one time you were separate. You were an object of wrath, but now you have been brought near. The dividing wall has been abolished. Don't ever forget that. Remember that. These are commands to fix our attention on key spiritual doctrines. It is impossible to live the Christian life without a good memory. We must have an excellent memory if we are to live the Christian life. Now, I know that many of you, well, perhaps not many, but some of you, have gone through a deeply, deeply grieving process of having a family member that can no longer remember. There is something that is very deeply tragic about having a loved one with Alzheimer's disease. And you speak to them, and they don't remember your name. And you're their son. You're their daughter. And you ask your parent, well, do you know this woman beside you? And it's their wife. They've been married to this woman for 60 years, and they no longer remember who she is. It's very, very sad to watch someone deteriorate mentally. It's a helpless feeling. You tell them as many times as you can, but this is my name. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I come here every day, every day. Don't you remember? It's a very helpless feeling to watch them not understand what you're talking about. But the exact same thing is true with people who profess to be Christians, but they forget the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you remember? He's your husband. Don't you remember? He saved you. And yet they pursue their sin as if they have no idea who Jesus is. There is perhaps nothing more grieving to a pastor nothing more grieving to parents watching a child than to speak to them about the gospel and they do not remember. And you have told them again and again and again. And they look at you as if they've never heard you before. And they look at you as if they have no idea. Who is Jesus Christ and what has he done? The command to remember is found throughout the scripture, and there is perhaps no more condemning word in all of the Old Testament than what God said to ancient Israel, "You have forgotten me." God says in Jeremiah chapter 2, "Is it possible for a bride to forget her ornaments? And yet you have forgotten me." He says, "You don't know who I am. I brought you out of Egypt. I have taken care of you every day. And yet you pursue these idols as if you have no idea who I am. You have forgotten me." And there is perhaps no more condemning word to modern Christianity than, "You have forgotten my holy day. I told you, remember the Sabbath day. And you have forgotten. And you have trampled on my day. And you have done what you pleased on my holy day. And you have forgotten the Sabbath day." You know, if you look here in verse 8 of chapter 20 in Exodus, it's very important that we observe the order. Look at the order of the commands. God says, first of all, remember the Sabbath day, and then, second of all, keep it holy. But the order is very, very important. First, your mind must be engaged. First, your mind must be fixed on the truth. And only then can you keep the day holy. Oftentimes, people want to ask the question, "Well, what am I allowed to do on the Sabbath? Tell me how I should keep the Sabbath. Am I allowed to go out to eat on the Sabbath day? Can I fill up my car with fuel on the Sabbath day? Can I go for a holiday on the Sabbath day? Can I travel on the Sabbath day?" You will never keep the Sabbath day holy until first your mind remembers what the day was designed for in the first place. That is how the Christian life is lived all the time. Read the New Testament. Always, always, Paul gives us the teaching and then the practical application. And here in the fourth commandment, we have to remember the Sabbath day. We have to fix our mind on a particular truth, and then we are able to keep the day holy. So now the question becomes, where do we fix our attention? What does the Sabbath day teach us? What is this truth? When he says, remember the Sabbath day, what is so special about the Sabbath day? What do we learn from it? What does it teach? And as we said before the message, the Sabbath day reveals two things about God. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, the focus is on him as our creator. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15, the focus is on God as redeemer. The Sabbath day fixes our mind on the truth of God as creator and the truth of God as redeemer. And we want to look at these two truths briefly today, and we'll expand them, Lord willing, in subsequent weeks. But turn back now to Genesis in chapter 2. Genesis in chapter 2. The Sabbath day was created in the beginning, and it was designed to teach mankind something very important. God created the Sabbath day, and you'll notice that the Sabbath day was created after he had finished his work. In verse 1, the work is finished. In verse 2, it says it again, the work is finished. And then he rested on the Sabbath day. Now, we'll explain this more in subsequent weeks, but the word for rest here does not refer to inactivity. It is not simply talking about ceasing from activity. It is impossible for God to not be active. God is always active. God doesn't need rest. He is not like us. But what this word means here, the word rest, is referring to the fact that God took great delight in all that he had made. He rejoiced in what he had made. It's similar when we speak of a chef creating a meal. They work very, very hard. They put all of the ingredients together. They make it just how they want it. They put it on the table. The presentation is beautiful. The meal is beautiful. And then what do? They sit down and they eat it. And they enjoy it. That's not inactivity, but it's not work. It's just pure enjoyment. Enjoying what you have created, enjoying what you have just made. And as God is looking around at the world, He has finished His work, but He is not inactive. He is very active. He is actively rejoicing, actively delighting in His work. He is saying it is very good in verse 31 of chapter 1. At the end of all He had made, it's very good. And now in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, He enjoys that good creation. But the Sabbath day, again, as Christ tells us, was made for man. God didn't need a Sabbath day. It was made for man. What does that mean? Well, it means in Genesis chapter 2 that the Sabbath day is an invitation. Have you ever received an invitation? You feel very special when you get an invitation to somebody's wedding, to somebody's birthday party, to a graduation. You feel honored. They want me to be there. They want me to enjoy their special day with them. And the Sabbath day is an invitation to mankind. God is inviting mankind, be like me. Be like me. You are made in my image. You are to imitate me. That's what I've made you for. And so He's teaching Adam and Eve at that point. Now, I did my work, and after my work, I finished and I enjoyed it. Now you have a work to do. And your work is to fill the earth with image bearers of God, to subdue the earth, to take the Garden of Eden, expand it all over the world, make the entire world a garden. Make the entire world a garden, fill it with boys and girls who grow up to be men and women who are made in the image of God, perfect and rejoicing and glorifying their Creator. And when you do that, Adam, then when you have finished your work, you will be able to enter into eternal life. You will have earned eternal life. You will be able to rest just as I did. It is an invitation to be like God, to do His work after Him, and then to enter into His rest, to be with Him forever in glory. Now, of course, we know that this was a wonderful blessing to Adam and Eve, and it's interesting that God gave them this blessing in the Garden of Eden because there was a special danger that came to Adam and Eve in the garden. And that danger was that because things around them were so wonderful, they might be tempted to forget their Creator. The fruit tasted so good. Their marriage relationship was so enjoyable. Everything around them was so beautiful that they could have been tempted to forget that they were not made merely for this world, but they were made for God Himself. And so God gives them the Sabbath day to remind them week by week, you are made for more than this. As wonderful as this world is, you are looking forward to more. You are looking forward to something greater. You ought to be looking forward to an eternity of uninterrupted communion and fellowship with me, an eternity of rest and delight. Now, in this particular situation with ourselves, things are quite different because we live on the other side of the fall. When Adam fell into sin, no longer was this world so enjoyable. No longer was this world so perfect, but we are still designed for glory. We are still designed to be with God in glory, and so there is still a Sabbath day today reminding us of that. But the Sabbath day today is to be honored and rejoiced in, not because we are earning that glory, but because we remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, our great Redeemer. And that is the second truth that the Sabbath day reminds us, not only what we were designed for, but how we achieve that design. And how we achieve and obtain that design is the redemption that is found in Christ alone. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, He did what Adam had failed to do. He did the work that we ought to have done. And he rose from the dead on the first day of the week, the Christian Sabbath day, and he entered into his heavenly rest. He achieved on our behalf all that Adam was supposed to accomplish but failed to do. Now, of course, when Christ did that work, he did so representatively. He did that on our behalf. We have not yet finished our work. We have not yet entered into that rest. And so God has still given us a physical day of rest, the first day of the week, the Sabbath day. And just like Old Testament Israel that was told, keep the Sabbath because of creation and keep the Sabbath because of redemption, we are told today the exact same thing. Remember the Sabbath day. That means fix your mind on what God has designed you for. You are not designed just for this world. You are not designed just for this world. You were made for eternity. You were made for glory. Remember that. Fix your attention on that. Don't forget. But don't forget that Jesus Christ is now your entrance into glory. Just as God told the Israelites in Deuteronomy 5, remember that you were slaves. Remember that I had to bring you out of Egypt. Christians are told in the New Testament, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. When Paul tells Timothy that, he's telling him, keep the Sabbath day. It is impossible to remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead if you do not keep the Sabbath. And it is impossible to keep the Sabbath without remembering Jesus Christ risen from the dead. It doesn't matter if you stay at home and don't do any work all day. It doesn't matter if you come here to church. If you fail to remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, you have not kept the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day means fix your attention on the design that God has given you and fix your attention on your Redeemer who has accomplished that on our behalf. That is remember the Sabbath day. Now immediately we can see how this applies to our lives. There is instantaneous application for this to our lives today. It addresses two huge problems in our thinking. Remember, the fourth commandment regulates our thinking. And the first problem is this, that immediately you can see our problem is that we are far too self-absorbed. Far, far, far too self-absorbed and too absorbed in this world. And the fourth commandment reminds us of that, and it comes to us as selfish people who are caught up with our own pursuits. Selfish people who think that this world is all there is, and it says, remember the Sabbath day. Remember glory. Remember eternal rest. Remember being in the presence of God. Now, this is very, very strange. We can understand how Adam and Eve would have forgotten about God because the world was so beautiful. I mean, it was gorgeous. Their marriage was perfect. No problems, no frustrations. We can see how it would be tempting to forget God. But it is a mark of our perversion that with a world as wicked as it is today, we still clutch it to our hearts and say, I love you so much. This world? This rioting, violent, abortion-filled, racist world? That's the world that you want to pursue? That's the world that you want to love? This world that we pour into it day after day and all we get are sweat and tears? This world? Do you want this world? Is that what you were made for? Remember the Sabbath day. Remember that you were made in the image of God. Remember that you were made not for this world but for eternal glory. The broken relationships of this world? Is that really what you're living for? Oh, well, that one didn't work out, so I'll jump to her. She'll make me happy. Well, he failed me, but I'll jump to him. He'll make me happy. Really? Really? Is that going to solve your problem? Remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. You are so self-absorbed. You are so filled with this world. Your pursuits, your purpose in life, is that really so important? You're filled with anger, you're filled with impatience, you're filled with lust, and yet you're so dedicated to your own purpose in this world? Remember the Sabbath day. Remember Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished. That is the command. There is a second way that it cuts across our thinking, and that is that when we finally grasp that we have been made for glory, we immediately start off to pursue it on our own strength. And as Christians, we become exhausted. I just can't keep loving that person. They drain me. I can't keep denying myself. It's too hard. I've got to indulge. I can't keep doing this. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Remember Jesus Christ has conquered death. He has conquered sin. He has set you free. You are not pursuing eternity on your own strength. You are not to keep the law of God in your own power. It is the power of God at work within your soul. Remember the Sabbath day. As professing Christians, if we take the fourth commandment out of our life, we can guarantee exactly what's going to happen. Very, very quickly, you will do either one of two things. You will become so focused on yourself in this world, or you will pursue glory in your own strength and your own power, and you will become very tired either way. And the Sabbath day says, rest. Remember the Sabbath day. Fix your attention on God, your Creator, who designed you for glory, and fix your attention on Jesus Christ, who is raised from the dead. The Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of the Sabbath, is coming to you this morning, and he is saying to you, the Sabbath was made for you. It's a blessing. Your mind is racing. What are we going to do about the riots? What are we going to do about the virus? I just can't think. I just can't sleep. I just can't focus. Remember the Sabbath day. What a gift. What a gift. How foolish it sounds to say that Jesus, as the Lord of the Sabbath, did away with the Sabbath. He came to establish the Sabbath day so that we would remember it and keep it holy. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, what a gift. What a gift you have given, and how foolishly we have trampled on it. We confess this morning that our minds are not regulated by the fourth commandment. We confess that we are self-absorbed. We confess that we are worn out with battling our sin and our own strength. And we pray that you would teach us to remember the Sabbath day, to remember that we have been designed for heaven, to remember that Jesus Christ, our great Redeemer, has purchased us with his own precious blood on the cross, rising again on the first day of the week, the Christian Sabbath, to remind us that we will one day be with him. And we pray that you would help us to keep this command. For his name, amen.